This is the Left Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Learn English Football Podcast with your hosts, Tim and...
Tom. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm okay, Tom. It's a sad weekend for English football, but I'm okay. How are you, Tom? You doing well?
I'm doing well. I wonder why you say it's sad, because the England national team actually won last night. Not a convincing win against Malta, but you can't be talking about that performance, can you?
No, I did watch the Malta game. I wasn't impressed either. But I think, Tom, the big story coming out of English football this week is the story surrounding Everton Football Club and their recent 10-point deduction for breach of financial fair play rules. And to breach the rules means to break the rules. It's a more formal word of a way of saying it. And in fact, I don't even think it's called financial fair play anymore. I think it's called profit sustainability model. But anyway, everyone on the street will know the rules that surround how much your football club is allowed to spend, or in this case, how much it's allowed to lose. And Tom, Everton have fallen foul of the rules, and to fall foul of the rules means to break them, to be on the wrong side of them. And they've had a 10-point penalty imposed on the club. And it's the first time in English football history that a club has had a points deduction for breaches of the financial rules. We've had points deductions before for clubs going into administration, like QPR. We've had clubs have points deductions like Middlesbrough for not turning up to a game.
West Ham, when we signed Mascherano and Tevez through a third party, an agent, rather than signing the players directly. I remember we were fined for that punishment, and we ended up paying Sheffield United some money because they were relegated as a result.
Oh, that could be an interesting contribution to later in the discussion, the other team's relationship with the punishment. And of course, Arsenal and Manchester United were docked 2 points in 1991 for an on-pitch fight. I watched the fight yesterday back on YouTube, and to be honest, I don't think it was worth a points deduction. But anyway, Tom, let's get into it. What's happened? It's a complicated case. The rules surrounding the financial fair play rules in English football are a little bit complicated. We're not going to go into total detail, but we do need to give an idea of what happened. Essentially, football clubs are allowed to lose up to 105 million over any 3-year period. And Everton have been found to have been 19.5 million over this 105 million pound loss limit. The period isn't talking about this season. I don't even think it's talking about last season. But it comes from a period in Everton's history where in 2016, they had a new owner, Moshiri, an American, came in with a lot of money, and he has spent a lot of money. He's bought in a lot of big players, big name players on high salaries and big transfer fees. He's also had 8 managers in that time, and managers that are very different. Tom, can you imagine Ronald Koeman, Frank Lampard, Ancelotti and Sam Allardyce all wanting to spend their money on the same style of player? Or do you think this was a scattergun approach?
Yes, I like that phrase, a scattergun approach. Yes, meaning that bullets were flying in every direction, or in this case, new signings, different types of player. Yes, if you consider Sam Allardyce as a very defensive, you might say rural, agricultural style of manager, where he favoured direct football, then Everton would have been buying big, strong centre-backs. Then they had a player, a manager like Ancelotti, who we can see the kinds of teams that he has consistently built in his career, and they would have been attracting a different kind of player at that time. So, yes, it seems that it wasn't a strong foundation for Everton, changing managers and changing the types of manager so frequently. It would have been difficult for them to build a strong squad.
Yeah, and it's a real shame because for a long time, all throughout our days watching football, Tom, Everton have always been a traditional club, a really loyal set of supporters. I've always had a soft spot for Everton. I've always liked them. And when Mashiri came in, there was this hope that, after all the dark days of Bill Kenwright being the owner, and not that he was a bad man, or but just that he didn't have the finances to be able to contribute to compete at the level that Everton want to compete. And let's not forget that in the 1980s, Everton were winning leagues. They're a proper football club. But in under Mashiri, in their first two seasons, they finished seventh and eighth, and I believe that this is one of the heart, the roots of the problem. Apparently, their business model is based upon the finances that would come with them finishing on an average of eighth place in the Premier League. Bearing in mind that last season they finished 18th and the season before that they finished 17th. So obviously, when you're expecting to get a lot more prize money and maybe play in European competition, you're expecting more finances to come in, and that
I have
hasn't
to
happened.
correct you there. They must have finished 17th and 16th because 18th would have relegated them.
Sorry, you're right. 16th and 17th. Must have made a typo in my notes, Tom. Sorry. Well pointed out. But yeah, and I think this ambitious project, coupled with a lack of real understanding of football, Mashiri is not a football man, and an old-fashioned structure. They haven't had a director of football. They haven't had a team making recruitment choices and selling choices. Essentially, Bill Kenwright, the old chairman, became the head of the board, but he was on a minority stake. He only had a 1.7% stake in the club, but he was still the person negotiating with agents, ringing up other clubs, selling players. So it seemed like a bit of an old-fashioned system. But the situation is, Tom, they've lost over the amount of money. So just to break it down, Tom, they've admitted they've spent too much. They have given a couple of excuses, which we'll come into a bit later. But I mean, on the face of it, do you think this is a good thing that a club spent too much? The rules are quite obvious. The 105 million, you've spent more than that. Take a punishment.
On the face of it seems to be the right thing that's happened. The club has admitted to overspending. They've broken the rules. They knew that this could be the punishment that they would face if they did that, and they did it. Of course, it does raise the question of are they the only club to do this, and are other clubs receiving the same treatment, getting the same punishment? That's a little nod towards Chelsea and Manchester City, which I'm sure we'll come to later.
Yeah, I mean, that is the question everyone's asking. Anyway, the Everton fans would argue that they have spent too much, but there are three things that they would say are mitigating circumstances that should ex that can explain their behavior, or maybe can ask for a reduction in punishment. And first one of those, and totally different to the other two clubs you've just mentioned, is they've been very honest about their problems. They've admitted they've spent too much. They've admitted they've had problems. They've given the FA access to the relevant documentation. In fact, they've given them 28,000 documents of evidence. And secondly, this was during the COVID period, where clubs lost a lot of money because, of course, teams were playing behind closed doors with no fans in the stadium. But the FA would argue that there were allowances made for that, and they have been factored into the accounts. The final one is, of course, the stadium. Football clubs are allowed to lose money if it's for investing in infrastructure. Of course, a stadium counts as infrastructure. And on the back of the stadium is a deal which has fallen through, a naming rights deal. There was a Russian company that they'd agreed to sell the naming rights to the stadium for £200 million. And of course, when the trouble in Ukraine started, and the embargo on Russian money happened, they lost that money automatically. So there are some mitigating circumstances. And I personally think the punishment is a bit too strong. I like the concept of punishment, But I do think it's a bit too much. So, Tom, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about this punishment? Why this degree of punishment? Do you think maybe it could have been a transfer ban, a two transfer window, a three transfer window transfer ban? Do you think they could have said maybe a suspended punishment, saying, okay, you don't lose your 10 points now, but if your finance is bad in the next two or three seasons, then we'll take them away? Or do you think it's good to hit them now with a strong punishment to make them realize they've done something wrong and to make other clubs think twice?
If I was Sean Dyche, the Everton manager, I would much rather have the punishment now. I'd like to know exactly where I stand. I don't want to be waiting for the result of some men in a committee somewhere to tell me how many points I need to keep my team up. So I think that the right action has happened. This has happened many times. It seems a little bit strange in the Premier League, and it also seems exceptional given that Manchester City and Chelsea have so far avoided these kinds of punishments. But actually, there is a precedent for this. There have been many clubs that have been hit with points deductions for breaking financial rules and regulations. So
I'd quite like to separate a little bit there, the difference between going into administration and breaking the financial fair play rules. Everton are not us. Currently a solvent company. They're not like QPR or other clubs who have actually gone into administration and gone bankrupt. So it is a financial crime, but it's slightly different. This is the first club that's been punished for breaking financial fair play rules. Sorry, Tom.
I see. Okay, no, thank you for that clarification. I would still stand by the comment, though. For me, it does feel like the punishment is right. I assume that there is this kind of punishment stipulated already that should clubs break financial fair play rules, this will be the punishment. So I'm happy for that to happen. I do understand there is a pending potential 9-point deduction that could still come later for Everton. And I think that's not so good. I think it's much better to get it out the way now for the investigation to be over and finished with. And then Sean Dyche knows exactly what he's got to do. And I think that's a bit fairer on the club. I'm happy with the 10-point deduction. I'm not so happy if there's still 9 points that could be added on taken away at any point further in the season.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think these punishments need to be as simple as possible, basically for sporting integrity reasons. We don't want to have the Premier League season played with a 9-point penalty, which could happen later in the season. Going back to a point you said, and I think it is a good point, if you're Sean Dyche, I think you do want this punishment now, because realistically, Everton are in a really good position compared to previous seasons. I mean, Everton are now only 2 points off safety. So that's saying that before the punishment, they were 8 points clear of the relegation area.
We also have to consider that this is an exceptional season in the Premier League, because all three of the clubs who came up, I'm talking about Luton Town, I'm talking about Burnley and Sheffield United, all three of these clubs are noticeably inferior to the normal quality. And that is something that's different. Normally, at least one or two of the clubs who are freshly promoted are able to do well in their first season. But Everton and Sean Dyche will fancy their chances of finishing above the three promoted teams.
100%. I mean, if this punishment was to have happened last season, Everton finished the season on 34 points. On 36 points. So they would have actually finished in 19th place, just 1 point above Southampton. So both Leicester and Leeds would have finished above them. I agree with you. I think this punishment is more or less appropriate. I think it's hard to accept at first because it feels like a big shock, and it makes you think, how are Everton such a bad team, a team that's so poor on the pitch, cheating financially when there are other teams doing lots of good things. But then you look at clubs like Brighton, who are spending not much money and playing very well, and you're thinking, actually, there are things off the pitch, management decisions, sporting director decisions, poor planning, no progressive model between managers over different seasons.
And you also touched on something about the club, the way the club is run. You were talking about Bill Kenwright, who was making a lot of the transfer decisions himself a few years ago. This is something that seems to be a problem with some of the old clubs who have established themselves in the Premier League. I understand Manchester United have a similar trouble now. It's very hard to revolutionise for a new manager to come in with new ideas when he's dealing with a system, with a structure, with all the staff behind the scenes in the club who are very programmed and used to doing things in a certain way. I feel this could be part of the problem with Everton as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can just read you off a couple of names here of players they've bought. I mean, unfortunately, with some of them, I haven't. I remember the name, but nothing more. Some of them: Salomon Rondon, big money signing, didn't do anything. Theo Walcott, 20 million from Arsenal, didn't do anything. Moise Keane, 25 million from Juventus. Fabian Delph, okay, it was only 8.5 million, but he was already injured when he got there. Then some of the more kind of less known players: Jean-Philippe Gmbamin, never heard of him, 25 million from Mainz in Germany. Yannick Bolasie, I think this one was actually unlucky. He was really good at Crystal Palace, 25 million. I think he did his cruciate knee ligament in the first couple of games. Davy Klaassen, who came over from Holland for £23 million, couldn't get a place in the side. Genk Tosun from Turkey, £30 million, can't remember him scoring goals. Sandro Ramirez again, 5.5 million pounds, didn't establish himself in the side. I mean, Tom, you're looking there just in that list I've given you there, and there are more. You're looking at about 100 million, 150 million right there. And they're players who haven't contributed anything on the pitch for Everton. So it's a real example of poor planning. Tom, let's move on. I'm going to ask you something about what you were saying before. When West Ham were docked points, you said that other clubs successfully sued West Ham, did you?
Well, Sheffield United launched an appeal when West Ham were found to have broken the rules with the signing of Tevez and Mascherano through a third party, through their agent, who effectively they signed the management company rather than the players directly. They were found guilty, and immediately Sheffield United went for legal action, and they put in a bid to sue, and West Ham settled. They settled out of court. I think they paid something like 20 or 30 million to Sheffield United. I'm not sure if it was fair compensation for the money Sheffield lost by being relegated, but this was back in 2006.
Yeah, they went down and they spent a long time out of the Premier League. So, I mean, in terms of if they had stayed up, then they would definitely have earned more. I, Tom, have a slightly different take on it, because I personally don't think we're in a situation where suing somebody, I'm not saying it won't happen, it probably will happen. I just don't think it's the right course of action from in terms of what's right and wrong. Just because this overspending, firstly, it wasn't last season. The last season, I don't think, as far as I understand, wasn't part of the measured 3-year period. So the three teams that went down last season, who I believe were Leeds, Burnley and Leicester.
Not Burnley, Leeds, Leicester, Southampton.
Oh, sorry. So Burnley came up, sorry. So Leeds, Southampton, Leicester. Yeah, they didn't actually suffer directly, because it was over a 3-year period that this money was overspent. So you could actually say the season before, or the season before that, were the teams that were directly affected by Everton's overspending. And the other one, I know this doesn't hold any water, which means it doesn't really make sense as an argument, but you could say, can they be sued for spending money and gaining an unfair advantage when the players they bought were so obviously rubbish that they didn't actually gain any advantage? Anyway, Tom, do you think other teams might be in a legal position where they'll be able to successfully sue?
Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there, which is an expression meaning that you know, when you're competing against other people, people will sue, clubs will sue each other. So I wouldn't be surprised, in particular, the three clubs relegated last season, potentially the three clubs relegated the season before that. If they have legal advice telling them that they have an opportunity to gain something from Everton, then I wouldn't be surprised if we do see these legal claims made against Everton. I'm not sure if it will result in successful bids. It might well result in, though, out-of-court settlements, because Everton have critically, crucially accepted responsibility. They've accepted fault. So maybe they have opened the door to these legal claims from clubs who were relegated.
Yeah, never pays to be honest in this world, Tom. I mean, personally, Tom, if I were one of these other clubs and I was thinking about suing, I wouldn't be suing Everton. I'd be suing the Premier League. I'd be suing the Premier League because essentially the Premier League goes to clubs and says, these are the rules you have to live by. And if you get relegated, we all know you're in trouble. But they don't have the structures or the capability to understand that other clubs are following or not following the laws. So essentially, if you're an honest club that says, okay, these are the laws, I'm going to live by them, and you've got other clubs that aren't living by them, and a governing body unable to investigate and understand fully, and this is what we're going to talk about with other clubs, then really I think it's this imposition of rules seems to me a bit contradictory. So Tom, what would you do? You think the Premier League should be worried?
Perhaps, although I did think of another expression, to bite the hand that feeds you. The idea of suing the Premier League as a club, it could be risky, it could be dangerous, because you know, joining the Premier League is very much the gravy train with all that TV revenue. They may find ways to hurt you back if you try and hurt them. So it could be a risky move for any club to go after the Premier League.
Yeah, quite possible. Anyway, Tom, let's talk about these other clubs, because we have talked about Chelsea and Manchester City. And let's think about the main differences between their cases and the Everton case. I think it is quite a simple difference, really. Everton have, in their transactions, spent more, lost more than they're allowed to lose, in that their income has been significantly lower than their outgoings in the accounts that they filed to the FA at the end of every season. Whereas with Manchester City and Chelsea, the accusation, it is just an accusation, so I'm going to use the word allegedly. Manchester City and Chelsea allegedly made payments in opaque ways. And what I mean by that is that they were making payments through shell companies, through offshore payments, through hidden payments. They were disguising the amount of money that they were giving to managers, to players, in signings, in salaries, in loyalty bonuses, in all sorts of ways. We've had the Guardian newspaper reporting on the Cyprus papers this week, where Abramovich might have been funneling his dirty money through Cyprus. We've seen it with the Panama papers. We've seen it through Manchester City when the Portuguese investigative journalist found some stuff on them. So I think essentially the complexity is much greater because Everton weren't trying to hide anything. Whereas allegedly, if Manchester City and Chelsea have done the things that they're alleged to have done, then it's a greater crime for me. Firstly, because the numbers involved are bigger. They wouldn't be breaking the limit by 19.5 million. I've read an article alleging that Eden Hazard's agent was paid an illegal £7 million pound bonus to make him sign for Chelsea instead of Arsenal. And that's just one player, one signing in one season, £7 million. So you can imagine how that might add up. And as a consequence, Tom, if they are found guilty, having set a precedent of a 10-point deduction for Chelsea, for Everton, what kind of punishment do you think might be suitable for Chelsea and Manchester City? I've been reading potential relegation. Firstly, do you think that would be an appropriate punishment if they're found guilty? And secondly, do you think it could happen with such powerhouses of English football?
I think many of the other European clubs, the big club competitors, would be licking their lips, rubbing their hands together with pleasure at the prospect of Premier League giants like Chelsea or Manchester City significantly punished for breaking these rules. What seems to be different here, though, is that we're talking about more like tax avoidance rather than a blatant and obvious breach of the rules, which happened in Everton's case. We have these kinds of legal loopholes, and it sounds like Manchester City and Chelsea have some very clever lawyers who have played the game a lot better and have known exactly how to avoid being incriminated directly for these very suspicious payments that have been going on through opaque ways, as you say. Opaque is a lovely word describing when something is cloudy and dark and covered up. It's the opposite of being clear. So I would love to see a strong punishment should they be found guilty. We all thought Manchester City were going to be found guilty a few years ago, but their legal team got them out of trouble. So I remain skeptical that these giant clubs can be punished. I think there may be too many legal loopholes that they'll be able to use. Legal loopholes is another expression meaning small print, little details that enable them to avoid being punished. So I would like to see a strong punishment, relegation, banned from the Champions League for a few years if it turns out to be true, but I'm skeptical that that will happen.
Yeah, I kind of disagree to one of the things you said. That you said that, you know, Everton have gone out there and obviously broken the rules, whereas Chelsea and Manchester City are accused of things that are like tax avoidance. I would say they're kind of the opposite, because I think Everton have gone out there with a business model. The business model was to depend on finishing seventh or eighth to bring in the certain amount of money as a result, and that would allow for the outgoings that they've made. And model hasn't worked because they finished lower, so they've got less income than they thought they would get. So I think that's it's poor planning, it's terrible decision making, but I don't think they've gone out there to break the law. But if you're setting up a company in Abu Dhabi to pay Roberto Mancini, and that company has no employees, and the only outgoings this company has is Roberto Mancini, allegedly, then and I think that is going out there to look to break the rules. And I get what you're saying about clever accountants, and I think that's what this comes down to, because in fact the Everton case is more recent than the Chelsea or the Manchester City accusations. But the point is, with the other accusations, is they're so complex that it's taking a huge amount of time to really put together a prosecution, and also to give them a fair amount of time to construct a defence. So, Tom, moving on, we're in this world of financial fair play. I think we all like the idea that clubs should only be allowed to spend what they earn, or a degree of that. So I certainly don't think we all want just a rich sugar daddy owner to come in and fund the next football club's success. But it seems, like you said earlier, Tom, if the good people play by the rules, then they lose. So is financial fair play fit for purpose? Would you think it's possible to control clubs, or not to control them, to understand exactly the amount of money there that's going in and going out of a club in a modern world of international banking, of digital banking, of offshore accounts, of all these kind of tax havens and all these kind of financial mechanisms that exist? So the question is it fit for purpose, and is it possible to be fit for purpose?
Those are excellent questions. They really are, because you touched on it. We live in a world now where if you are wealthy, you find a way to legally avoid paying your taxes, whether it's through havens, clever lawyers, clever accounting. There are so many tricks that are clearly being employed by clubs, as well as in the general world. So these financial fair play rules seem to be limited in their capacity. What we're really talking about here is you have Everton, who made a small but seems to be quite an honest mistake compared with these giant clubs who are making much potentially larger violations of, if not what's legally right, certainly what is ethically or morally the correct thing to do. These companies, these clubs are using whatever advantage they can to get one over their opponents. And these financial fair play rules are designed to stop that happening, but are clearly failing to do so. So the result is we need a tighter financial fair play system. But the big question is, can we have a tighter set of financial fair play rules when the world outside it enables large companies, organizations, political entities to circumvent those rules?
Well, yeah, this is especially a problem when really we're not talking about crimes here. We're talking about breaking of rules of a sport. So these cases aren't going to end up in a court. They're not legally binding, you know. And another thing, Tom, I think it is difficult. It is very difficult. I've got a couple of suggestions here, Tom. You know, I like to fix problems, not just to complain about them. So what about this, Tom? All Premier League clubs pay money to the Football Association, and the Football Association has accredited accountants, and the Football Association essentially is the employer of accountants that are allowed to work in football clubs. So basically, you could say, for example, Arsenal says, okay, we need 10 accountants. This is the size of club. We need 10 accountants. And the FA would actually be the providers of those accountants. And they would also be paying the salaries of those accountants. So, and you wouldn't have allowed to work in a football club any accountants that weren't accredited by the FA and paid for by the FA. I think, Tom, you probably won't like this idea because it's central governance. But forget the world and just think about the ecosystem of football. Do you think it could work in football?
Potentially it could work. It's a bit like these accountants coming in as auditors and the clubs being obligated to give the full records, the full accounting of what's going on. If you can have a system in place to ensure that these accountants receive all the records they need to give a proper accounting of the club's finances, then yes, it could work.
Oh, we've agreed, Tom. I like it. I think you probably won't like this one, though. this next one is when it comes to financial matters, I think clubs, the idea is that clubs should be guilty until proven innocent. So if I find that a Roberto Mancini has allegedly been receiving money from a shell company in Abu Dhabi, then I punish them. And it would be up to the club. Instead of me proving that they're trying to find a way around the accounted for finances, they would have to prove to me that those payments were accounted for in the finances. So to kind of shift the emphasis, obviously in Western society, and one of the key premises of our justice system is that you're innocent until proven guilty. But it seems to me that in maybe an accountancy, this could be a world in football accountancy, could be a world where the opposite could be an idea. What do you think?
This one is a little bit dangerous for me. I like the idea of swift punishment, swift justice. That part of it is good. But, we are human beings. We are fallible creatures. And even our FA, regulated accountants could still be got at. I still feel they could be manipulated and be going into clubs with a vendetta against a particular club. So I'm not sure if we could guarantee the integrity of the people doing the audits on these clubs. So I'm not sure. I think that's a good idea.
Okay. A couple of things before we finish, Tom. Firstly, I do think we were going back earlier to saying, will they punish City and Chelsea if they're found guilty? I think they should, because I think one of the great things about the English Premier League is we sell ourselves to the world as a competitive league, as a league where you don't think of just one club when you think of the Premier League. You think of the league and then the clubs. And I think that's beautiful. And, you know, if you look at the big clubs in England now, we're talking about the top, the big seven. We're talking about City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United, Tottenham and Newcastle. So, you know, if we lost two of those clubs, we'd still have more big clubs competing for top level football in Europe than all the other leagues in Europe. So, and I think it would make an example of those clubs, and it would show the rest of the world that we care about competition. And I think that's really important. I think that's one of the things that makes people fall in love with the Premier League. So, Tom, do you think the Premier League could afford to lose two big clubs and still maintain its reputation as the best league in the world?
Absolutely. Yes. If it were, let's say, even Manchester City and Liverpool, two of our most successful clubs in the last 5 years, imagine they are relegated to the Championship or even League One. I am sure that clubs, what we might call also ran clubs, clubs who are sort of not bad, pretty good, they would move up and fill the space. And before long, you could have other clubs coming into contention, joining the top seven.
Yeah, I agree. And just to finish on a point, British football, English football survived a long time without Manchester City or Chelsea winning anything or being big clubs. And it never created a problem for the game. So I do think if they are found guilty of the crimes they're accused of, then they should be punished. They should have the book thrown at them. They should be punished hard. Anyway, Tom, that's all we've got time for on the Learn English Football podcast today. I believe we've got a special coming up next week, a Jude Bellingham special for our international listeners. We're going to be going back into to his roots, finding out where he's come from and what's made him the special player and special character that's setting the world of football alight. Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure, and see you next time for the next episode. And thanks to all of our listeners.
Thank you, Tim, for me too. Yes, and thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, if you know someone else who is learning English, enjoys football, then please share it with them. Ask them, do you speak football? Thank you.
Cheers, Tom.
Bye bye.